Welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Wade Gershner with you this morning as we are joined by John Betts, the publisher of Kansas Pregame. Does a wonderful job with the magazine, Volume 15 here in 2020. And it has been a weird year, to say the least, but yet we are underway in the 2020 high school football season. And John is with us to talk about some of the results from week one across our area and then look ahead to hopefully what will be the rest of the high school football season. And John, I would imagine you, like us, it's been a bit of a challenge to put something together this magnitude, a magazine with all these schools, when everything's been changing daily.
Yeah, exactly. The daily changes were a huge impact, are a huge impact. There was a lot of restrictions associated with the virus response that we couldn't do the group cover shot that we have done in the past because we needed to keep kids social distance, and so we did individual shots for the cover and cut out, did clipping paths of kids and only took their masks off, you know, when they were safely distanced from their neighbor. And then, you know, it just, everything just took a little longer to come together this year. And, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm not whining. It is what it is. But I lost some pretty significant sponsors this year because they had concerns about budgets and things like that. But you know what? I had a lot of great local sponsors all over the state step up and support what we do and make it possible. And now last week I did a lot of the distribution myself with the help of a number of parents and broadcasters and journalists and different people that just kind of love what we do and helped us get the product out. But I personally drove at least 3,000 miles last week doing distribution, and it was a pretty exhausting time frame. I think it was Wednesday night, I got done in Russell, and I just got done walking out from a Pizza Hut from doing my last delivery of the night, and I could hear my tire leaking air. I had ruined the tire. Right. And I got the excitement of relearning how to change a tire. And you know what? In all honesty, it was a really good experience for me because it's something I need to be able to do, you know, if I've got my family in the vehicle, you know, and thank goodness it didn't, the tire didn't blow going 70 miles an hour down the interstate or whatever it might be. And so I tried to find a positive in it, and it was a good experience for me.
Well, I'm glad you're able to fix that and continue down the road, as that's what we're trying to do during the high school football season. Week one is in the books. Just real quick, your impressions of week one in regards to anything that surprised you and anything that really stood out.
I think in general there was maybe quite a bit of sloppiness, and that's kind of what I expected to see, was maybe some teams have some trouble with execution and things that maybe they would typically be a little bit more polished. I haven't ever really been one to say that Kansas Pregame has caused a cover curse before, but this year I made a big deal of Derby on the front of the magazine, and then they promptly got dismantled by Mill Valley in the opener. And in all sincerity, I was considering splitting the cover between Derby and Mill Valley even before we knew they were playing, because that scheduling that game was kind of a last-minute deal. And, boy, I sure wish I could go back and do that now.
Yeah, no kidding. That was a pretty impressive performance by Mill Valley. There were some really interesting games, and I saw Holton-Nemaha Central is a really good ball game. You know, Southeast Lee Minneapolis is one in our neck of the woods that was tied up there late in the third quarter. And I think the one of the things that stood out to me, at least for the teams in our area, and we saw Osborne lose a ton of talent. They lose week one to Hill City. They have a lot of talent coming back. We saw Beloit, which lost a ton with their graduation, 9 all-leaguers gone due to graduation. And we saw the inexperience of them against Republic County that had their whole backfield back. We saw a great game between Sylvan Lucas and St. John's Tipton. Logan and Lakeside was a terrific ball game as well. So there's a lot of competitive and close games, at least here in North Central Kansas, for us to follow. And then there's some teams that I think are going to improve quite a bit by the end of the year. We're going to say, wow, they've come a long way, that normally, like Osborne and Beloit, state that are usually very, very solid, very, very good. Of course, Osborne defending state champions, that we're going to see improvement. But you see other teams that are trying to work their way up. You know, a Lakeside is, I think, going to be a lot better, and they've got very talented couple of classes that they're working with. Republic County getting a big win last week, to see what that does to propel them down the line. Some of these teams that have maybe struggled, maybe turning the corner this year.
Yeah, I think that there's an element of that. I think Stockton is another team that maybe has an opportunity to put together a nice year with all the experience that they had back. We talk about close competitive games. The Smith Center Norton game, I don't think it was necessarily a surprise that it was close. Smith Center is one of those teams that I thought looked really sloppy in their opener. They were having a hard time getting the snaps up to a new quarterback. They've got, you know, mostly new faces in the backfield, and while they had some pieces along the front line, you know, they struggled a little bit in that regard, and of course still came back and had an opportunity to win it late. I thought Norton, I was really impressed with the way Norton looked. I thought that Jonah Reuter moving to quarterback, he looked, he moved around really well, and he has really gotten into some incredible shape this off season, and they have other pieces, and yeah, it does look like maybe there's going to be, you know, quite a bit of parity. And as you said, you know, Beloit is going to be an entirely different team in week six than we saw, you know, last week. Derby, you know, I mean, I realize not from our neck of the woods, but yes, Derby got trounced, but Derby is going to be a tremendously better team in 2, 3, 4 weeks. You know, and there's also, we don't know what every school district has faced as far as off-season challenges in terms of what their practice limitations were, what their weight room limitations were. You know, we don't know the distractions that they had with either new transfers in or transfers out. You know, Smith Center is a perfect example of that, where they got a young man named Chase Maxwell that played at Gardner-Edgerton. His dad was in my class in high school, and they moved home so that they could guarantee their son a senior year of high school. But still, that's welcoming a new face, fixing him in, you know, fitting him into the picture and that kind of thing. And we don't know all those challenges that teams and coaches face from school to school. And it's going to be, you know, you watch and you look around the state, and every week it's a 1 week at a time deal. You know, Maxville, they had early challenges, and now they played a game, and now they're going to miss a game. You look at teams scrambling to fill schedules because other teams are canceling and all those kind of things. But I will say personally, before we went into this, you know, I anticipated this was going to be a start and stop kind of a deal, as I'm sure that we all did.
Sure.
But I personally am more optimistic now about having and finishing a postseason than I was in August. It just really feels like, and I don't know, maybe it's because I'm secluded in rural America, but it just kind of feels like things are turning a little bit, and that people aren't as scared of it anymore because there's so limited risk for, you know, for youth and things like that. And it just feels like there may be an opportunity to actually be playing football in late November. And you know, I hope that's how it all works out for kids and fans and parents and coaches.
Well, I hope so as well. John Betts, publisher of Kansas Pregame, with us today on the Sports Ticket. Just along those thoughts, I agree with you. I'm kind of the same way. I'm a lot more optimistic than I was even probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, right before school started. I might not be as optimistic as you for the postseason. I'm not quite there yet, but I am more optimistic about our schools here in North Central Kansas, maybe a little bit more sheltered somewhat in regards to the big cities in getting through the regular season. And then the postseason, I think, is just the wild card of, you know, who's going to play who from where and what, you know, what towns and how the schools are going to handle it, you know, on a case-by-case basis. Because let's be honest, every school is going to have at some point this year, more than likely, somebody test positive for COVID-19. How are they going to handle it? Are they going to shut things down for a week, 2 weeks? And then how do you fill your schedule? As you talked about, you know, Ellsworth had to miss week one in the NCAA because of a positive test in fall football camp, and didn't have enough practices once they restarted to have a game in week one. Sacred Heart had to go to Kinsley to play an 8-man game, even though they're an 11-man football team. There are going to be some weird dynamics to piecing this thing together. And I talked with a coach this offseason, and him and I were just chatting a little bit, and he said if we could get 6 or 7 games this year, he goes, I would take it. If we could get 6 or 7 games, I would take it. I think since then, I think he and I and like you are a little bit more optimistic that we can get more than 6 or 7 games in. But having said that, we've only played 1 week. Anything can change in a heartbeat.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I've said more this year than ever in my life. And I spent 10 years as an assistant coach at different schools in Kansas. And it's always one of those things that you say one day at a time, one play at a time, all that kind of stuff. And you mean it,
sure,
but not like you mean it this year. And any chance that I get to talk to parents and kids, I try to help them focus on the fact that, you know, every week is a gift upon itself in a way that it's never been before. And so, you talk about all the unique situations. I'm sure you guys have talked about this some, but the Goodland gets the win over Liberal with their coaching staff quarantined and their administration on the sideline coaching the team. And you know, we'll probably see some more of those situations where certainly at least part of the coaching staff in any given week for whatever reason may not be able to be part of the game plan and the practice sessions and all that kind of thing. But I just think I'm going to admit and say that this has put me in a situation. I have built my life around high school sports.
Mm-hmm.
I sold my 2 weekly newspapers and went all in on high school sports. And when they said the spring sports season was canceled, I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This just never occurred to me that this is something that could happen. I mean, certainly, you know, the case of a world war or a terrorist attack or something like that, I just never imagined, you know,
who would
a disease doing something like this. And I know we've spent already too much time talking about it, but I just am so thankful for all the people that have helped out. You know, Todd Clover there did all the deliveries in Beloit for me, and he's a longtime sponsor and supporter. And I have so many stories of people like that that just helped me out because they knew that I was on this time crunch. And it's just really special to live in this part of the world, and maybe more so now than ever.
I agree with you 1,000% on that. No question about it. John Betts, publisher of Kansas Pregame, our guest today. So let's go. Let's start at the bottom here in regards to 8-man. I don't mean any disrespect by saying bottom, but I'm just working our way up enrollment-wise. So 8-man Division 2, your preseason rankings. Of course, this is before the season began, obviously. That's why it's called preseason. St. Francis 1, Hanover 2, Axtell 3, Lebo 4, Victoria 5. Osborne, Sylvan Lucas also mentioned in there. Of course, as we talked about, Osborne losing a lot of talent. But let's start with Osborne. The Bulldogs, always well coached with Steve Tiernan, a team that always seems to get better from week one to week two and all the way throughout the season. This is a team that I think more than likely by the end of the year, it's a team you might not want to face.
Yeah, they just lost so much. Mm-hmm. And we knew that they were going to be down. But, you know, Hill City is a good squad.
Yeah, they are.
They got a lot of pieces back. And the Hamill kid that rushed for 270-some yards in the game or whatever, I think he got hurt and missed a big chunk of the year last year, or they had really high expectations for him last year. Now, Brody McDowell for them, I think, is a great player. There's another kid along the defensive line that his name escapes me right now. But so scoring 26 points against a Hill City team like that is nothing to shake a stick at. I mean, it's really maybe as good a start as they could expect, considering how young and inexperienced they are this year. But absolutely, you know, the end of a Steve Tiernan coach team is going to get better, and they're going to be competitive right through the end. And when you look at the rankings, I think, you know, the preseason rankings for a lot of classifications were harder to do this year than ever because you didn't know what transfers you had and whatnot. But I think that those top five, I mean, St. Francis potentially could be, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else because returning everybody except the Dinkle kid from last year's 8-man 1 state runner-up team, a game where they were on the verge of 45-ing a team that had dominated everyone all year. Now, of course, Canton Galva flipped the script on that and pulled the most significant comeback in state championship game history. But I think St. Francis, Hanover, Axtell looked really good. You know, they had the question mark of Quinn Bosin graduates, but the coach's son, Isaac Detweiler, steps in at quarterback, and he has a great game against Wheatland Grinnell. Those guys have to drive all the way out to the Colorado State line, more or less, to play a game, and they get a good start. And I think Lebo is a nice upstart, and Victoria looked good against La Crosse, a La Crosse team that has pretty high expectations with what they have coming back in their first year of eight-man.
You know, a good game last Friday, really a competitive football game with St. John's Tipton and Sylvan Lucas. Sylvan Lucas more on your neck of the woods, I know, and you follow them a little bit closer than others. And that was a game, a good win for Sylvan Lucas. St. John's Tipton and Sylvan Lucas both have some important kids coming back from last year. Those two teams certainly following up on playoff appearances last year and winning records last year.
And Sylvan Lucas loses Bo Batchman, really probably one of the all-time great players in Sylvan Lucas history, a storied history that it is, but Bo was really an outstanding football player. But they have a lot of young kids that are going to end up making names for themselves. Dayton Kaus is a big kid that has played at fullback, and he's a multiple spot on the field kind of a guy, and he's the grandson of former Salinas Central head basketball coach Doug Finch. Mm-hmm. And there's just some athleticism that kind of runs through that family. And there's several other kids. They had several other returning pieces. And, I think that they could be a factor. It'll be interesting also to see where Central Plains is at this year in 8-man 2 after they struggled so much last year after graduating that exceptional group. They're a team to keep an eye on, and it looks like maybe they are not going to play until week three. Also one of those deals where lost games to the virus and that kind of thing. But again, I think especially those top three teams, St. Francis, Hanover, and Axtell, probably they'll be there at the end.
Other schools are area in 8-man division two. I'll just let you run through these here. We got Rock Hills, of course, lost Riley Welchel, but this is a team under Kobe Hamill's second year that I would expect to get a little more comfortable in what they're trying to do. They had a convincing win over Wichita Homeschool, a team that was 8-1 a year ago. Rock Hills rolled in that one in week one. They're at Lakeside this week, which will be a very entertaining game that we're going to have on KD Country 94 on KDCountry94.com. Lakeside with I heard a great game between them and Logan Palco on Friday. Lakeside fell 32-28. Thoughts on those two teams as they'll face off this Friday?
Well, Lakeside has some excellent pieces back, and I think Logan Palka returned a lot of experience as well. They returned their leading tackler that had 100 yards last year. They returned their quarterback and a running back that rolled up quite a bit of yardage from a year ago. So I think that's a pretty quality opponent. And Lakeside, while they return all this experience, they're still a very young team. So I think this is a Lakeside team that could be a pretty good for a couple of seasons here, are certainly competitive. Rock Hills, Coach Hamill, really enthusiastic. I really like the energy that he brings on a consistent basis. He does some cool stuff with social media to keep his kids engaged. Of course, I probably say this wrong, even though I've been saying his brother's name for years, but the Gillett kid at quarterback. Talk about two completely different body types, the younger Gillett brother and the older Gillett brother. They just couldn't be any more different, but both very talented athletes and bring a good presence at the quarterback position. But you don't know exactly where Rock Hills is yet, because that initial ball game, doesn't give you that gauge. So, but certainly I think both of those teams are teams that, should be very competitive with the majority of their schedule.
And two more 8-man teams in our area. Thunder Ridge with a double overtime win over Stockton. And Stockton, you were high on without Reese Struckhoff, who was unbelievable last year with Thunder Ridge. But they've got some really solid talent returning. Joel Struckhoff's turned things back around to way the Thunder Ridge is very, very competitive like they once were under Coach Jerry Voorhees. And then Lincoln with an easy win over Tescott. Certainly that's in your neck of the woods. Your thoughts on those two teams, Thunder Ridge and Lincoln?
Thunder Ridge has a lot of young talent. There's the Bice brothers, and there's a Wagon Blast kid, and they're athletic, but they have some size, a lot of height, and I anticipate that they will develop over the course of the season and end up being a very good team and have an opportunity to be a very good team for a couple seasons. Lincoln has the core of guys that have been basically started for them for 4 years back. They've got Tyler Good, who really is one of the best players in all of 8-man one, and a kid that's run, you know, 11-2 in the 100 meters before, and they've got a 6'4", 6'5 receiving threat in Landon O'Hare that's also a really solid defensive end for them. And they've got a freshman class of kids. Their quarterback is Logan Meyer, who is a freshman starter for them, and they've got another kid named Caleb Dodderer that's a freshman that's a really nice running back for them. I think they have an opportunity to be competitive with a pretty big chunk of their schedule. They've got some pretty tough games coming. There's a Little River on their schedule. I think there's a Canton Galva on their schedule down the road. So they've got some tough games, but I think that they will be competitive with a lot of their schedule over the course of the year.
That's a look at 8-man Division II. John Betts, publisher, Kansas Pregame, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. The magazine is free at all the sponsor locations. Once again, thank those sponsors for making that available to you so you can read it and pick it up for free. 8-man Division I, we'll go over this pretty quickly because we don't have any teams in our area that are 8-man Division I this year, but there is a pretty big game coming up this Friday, if I remember correctly. Clifton, Clyde, and Little River, two of the top five teams in your preseason poll. Canton Galva 1, Wichita County, Leota 2, and then, of course, Clyde 3, Little River 4, Madison 5. You have Hill City, among others. We've already discussed Hill City, but Clifton, Clyde, Little River. I started to think about those two programs, and I covered games. Little River made the playoffs when they played Baileyville B&B, and B&B went all the way down to Little River. Little River had a stretch where they were really, really good. And then Clifton Clyde has had you look at the tradition and the years and all the success they've had, but then they've had those little – every once in a while they might have a year or two where they just kind of got to rebuild real quickly, and then Coach Steinbrock has them right back to, you know, being 8-1, 9-0, 7-2 every year.
Yeah, Little River – Kevin Harris takes over after all the success that he had at Wallace County. And, you know, there are just those dudes that coach that just bring an immediate kind of a magnetism, a character, an atmosphere to the sideline. And he's done that. And, Jaden Garrison, the really outstanding, you know, maybe the best basketball player in all of Class 1A, is a versatile weapon that they're doing multiple things with, but certainly him – stepping in and doing some things at the quarterback position, and Graham Stevens, who was already a really nice player for them. That duo is really talented. Clifton Clyde, Aiden Rudolph, really nice player, tall and long and athletic. A little tidbit, I actually played high school football against Aiden Rudolph's dad, who Edmund grew up in Belleville and was a speed demon running back, a really great player. And Aiden has carried on the tradition of great Rudolph football players. And, I think this is a really good game. I think Clifton Clyde has the potential to be really one of the best teams in this classification. And also, they do the most amazing stuff with their uniforms, their uniform combos, their matte helmet. And then now they got this Power Eagle that lights up on their new press box and everything, and it's just some of the atmosphere that they create there for football is really cool.
Class 1A, Centralia 1, Smith Center 2, Conway Springs now 1A, 3, ranked 30 in a preseason poll, Valley Heights 4, Inman 5. Plainville certainly stands out there, and the others. Plainville beat Phillipsburg there the other night by 1 point. So it seems like when they play, it's usually pretty competitive, which sets us up with an interesting game this Friday when Phillipsburg goes to Smith Center.
Yeah, so all three of my preseason teams lost. Centralia lost to a really good Rossville team, Smith Center lost to Norton, and Conway Springs lost to Garden Plain by 1 point. Those three teams, I still think they'll be right there at the end. Valley Heights looked good in a win over Marysville, but this is a really depleted Marysville team. But I do think Valley Heights has a really outstanding program. You know, I really don't know about Phillipsburg. I'm not, first year under a new coach, coming off a 3-6 record after they had graduated, the best class in the history of Phillipsburg High School football. I'm not sure where they're at. Of course, they've got the younger Sides brother at the quarterback position back there, and he is a versatile playmaker. He doesn't have the benefit of the height that his brother did. And now we know that his brother, who's playing Division I basketball, was really one of the top all-around athletes in the state of Kansas in that class. I would expect a solid game, But I also expect Smith Center to be 1,000% better this week. I mean, they could not get the center quarterback exchange, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did if they did nothing in practice this week, but work on the quarterback center exchange. So I anticipate the Smith Center will be 1,000% better, and they will recover and go on kind of a run. And Centralia got really handled by Rossville, but Centralia's, you know, they lost the Haverkamp kid to graduation. That's pretty much all they lost, though. Now, he's an exceptional player, and he showed it in the Shrine Bowl with, you know, multiple interceptions in his role on defense. But again, I think that they will be fine in the end, and them as well as Conway Springs will be, you know, in the mix for a playoff run if that opportunity is there.
Your Class 2A rankings, John Betts, publisher of Kansas Pregame, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. This will be the last class we really look at a little bit more in-depthly, and then we'll touch upon 3A real quickly. Class 2A is interesting. You mentioned Rossville with the win over Centralia. Nemaw Central with the narrow loss to Holton. Holton, you lose to Holton, there's no shame in that. And they're the defending state champs in 2A, Nemaw Central. Garden Plain, of course, beat Conway, as you referred to. Silver Lake, due to COVID, not playing early in the year. And then you had Beloit at number 5. We talked about their struggles last week against Republic County. Republic County, of course, is 2A, and that was their first win over Beloit since, according to folks up in Belleville, since 1999, 21 years ago, even though the two schools did not play the last couple of years. You know, Norton, you talked about, that was a big win for them. Hoisington losing Wyatt Pettigo, he's an absolute stud. You know, Hoisington is in Beloit's district. Minneapolis is a team in Beloit's district that looks improved, gave Southeast a run last week. Well, let's start there. Let's start with the district that Beloit is in Class 2A. When you look at that district, you know, we talked about it last week on the Football Express, that it seems to be fairly wide open. Phillipsburg, new coach, not sure what they're going to bring to the table. Norton, get your attention when you beat Smith Center. Minneapolis, right there with Southeast. Hoisington, who's usually very salty. What are your thoughts on that 2A district at Beloit's in?
It seems really balanced. I liked what Minneapolis brought to the table coming in, but boy, they have just an absolutely brutal schedule. And, you know, I don't know how that bodes for them down the stretch. And also the fact that they don't have a home football field. To me, I mean, maybe that shouldn't be a distraction, but to me, they got bulldozers out on the middle of their football field laying down rock and trying to get this turf. And, you know, when are they going to be ready to play a home game for that? I feel like that could be a factor. My thinking on Beloit going in was there's so much young talent, and 2A seems to be very wide open, and that's why I thought, you know, maybe there was some potential there. Boy, they looked so young in that loss. There just was things. They really kind of seemed to get maybe out physical a little bit in a way that Beloit doesn't do. But just like some of the other teams we talked about, they're going to be 1,000% better here in the next couple of weeks. What Hoisington has going for it is the Haxton kid at quarterback, and that's a multi-season starter, and that kind of experience is so important. And you know, I think that there's certainly some other pieces there, but he's, you know, he's going to carry a lot of the load this year, and he's extremely talented. But for me to look at that and say, you know, who's going to come out on top, I feel pretty confident that there's going to be some games that we go into and we're going to think, oh yeah, I think Norton's got the edge here, and you're going to find them, you know, maybe on the other side of a really close score. I think this is going to be pretty balanced and come right down to the end and see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the district winner has one loss or maybe even two when it comes out of that one. Beloit plays Southeast Saline. Southeast is Saline ranked 50 in your 3A rankings. Andale 1, Perry LeCompton 2, Topeka 8 and 3, Holton 4. They had a big win last week, as we mentioned. Southeast Saline. Let's focus on Southeast Saline. They're in the North Central Activity Association. Beloit's played them last couple of years. Both times Beloit felt like they should have won but let it slip away. But this year, certainly going in, there's no doubt Southeast Saline is the favorite. And we talked about Southeast win. They had a dogfight with Minneapolis, tied 16-all late in the third, ended up winning at 32-16. Beloit goes down to Gypsum on Friday. We'll have it live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. You know, Beloit, one of the things that stood out to me, and I knew this, and I have a lot of insight into the program itself, and my son is a freshman on the football team, so I'm familiar with various things. One thing that stands out to me, and a lot of people have been talking about it since the game on Friday, and that is Beloit's lack of speed. Beloit's lack of they don't have a burner. They don't have the Bo Beheimers, the Peyton Vetter, which Peyton wasn't a burner, but he still had pretty good speed. Logan X, Cass Spanglers. They don't have that type of runner, it doesn't seem, and they haven't for a few years. They have guys like Vincent Barrett, that's a talented sophomore that carried the load the other night. But Beloit, it felt like the only way they were going to score the other night against Republic County was it's going to have to be a methodical 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 play drive to work it down and score. There's not that game breaker. Whereas Southeast Saline, they've got a lot coming back. Their quarterback's back, and this is a Southeast Saline squad, and I look at what they're going to do in basketball, it's scary what they could do the next couple of years in basketball with that freshman sophomore class that's now sophomores and juniors. What are your thoughts on Southeast Saline as Beloit heads down there on Friday?
So much talent. I mean, yeah. Jackson Gephardt is a coach's son that's a multi-year starter at the quarterback position. Also, a really outstanding defensive back that I think that you know, at the defensive back position, he might be an MIAA player, a Fort Hayes type level kid. He needs just a tick more speed, but he's an outstanding player. Brian Banks, outstanding player. Sterling Harp, huge tree trunks for legs, squats 515 pounds or something like that along the line. You know, Rodriguez is back after 90 tackles last year. Just a tremendous amount of talent for Southeast Saline. And ultimately pulled away in that game against Minneapolis. You know, those early season games, you can maybe sputter in the first half and then pull away and it not maybe show how good you are. I would have considered them a top three team in 2A this year with a really legitimate chance to make a run at a state championship with all the talent they have back. And the other thing about Southeast Saline is they have one of the best home field atmospheres of any place that you will ever go to watch high school football. The field that lowered down in that kind of valley and the crowd support that they get and the enthusiasm that they have a quality band most of the time that's very rowdy and things like that. And so that's a tough place to play against a very, very good team.
Yeah, they redid their field, if I remember correctly, this offseason.
Right.
So that'll be really nice, too. It should be an interesting game, but it will be a challenge, no doubt, for Beloit going to Southeast of Saline coming up on Friday. All right, we'll put you on the spot. We'll work back down like a snake pattern here. We'll go 3A. We'll put John Betts on the spot so you can wait a minute, I can't do that. No gambling, high school sports. 3A, just fun wagers like a pop or something, I guess. Class 3A, who's going to win it? Andale going to go back-to-back?
Andale's going to win, but it's going to be much closer over Perry-LeCompton because Perry-LeCompton returns everybody, and they are blazing fast.
All right. 2A, your state champion is who?
Rossville. I really like the way Rossville looks. Tucker Horak's younger brother, Tori, is back as a junior quarterback. The Reeves kid at wide receiver, tight end, that kid is definitely a Division II level player. I like Rossville a lot.
All right. Do you see a rematch in 1A and Trey Smith Center again or somebody else crashing the party?
Man, you know, I really have some doubts about Centralia now. I just see the thing is that Valley Heights probably has the edge this year physically, but you and I both know that it's the
yes.
mental hump.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Valley Heights has not been able to get over the mental hump that is Centralia. And the other thing is that Valley Heights has had some question marks along the offensive line. They've got some kids that have been out. I'm not sure that they're going to be back. And so, yeah, I think that there's a chance. How about if I say this? I think that, the winner of Centralia, Valley Heights, well, I guess we need to consider Olpe as well, but I'll say the winner of Centralia, Valley Heights is going to be the East Side 1A representative, and I'll say that the winner of Smith Center and Conway Springs, you know, they're going to meet at some point, right? So I'll say the winner of that is the West Side 1A representative.
Way to go out on a limb there, Betts, for crying out loud. My goodness, you're a politician in mid-season election year form.
I have a full cover that has Derby on the front of it. That says Derby Dynasty rolls on, and they got beat 45-14. I'm not stretching my neck out very far anymore.
You just don't want to jinx everyone, but yeah. But you just named four teams, so that means Inman's going to win it. Way to go. Eight-man Division One. Who do you like winning it all this year at Eight-man One?
Canton Galva should
repeat.
Should win it hands down. You want to talk about a talented team. Holy cow. Tyson Struber, we know, is a Big 12 offer guy, but Braden Collins is bigger and as fast as Tyson Struber and more physical, and I don't understand why that kid doesn't have at least Division II offers at this point. Canton Galva going away, I think.
All right. Eight-man Division II. Who do you like?
St. Francis. So good. They are... They're big along the front line, but they're athletic everywhere. They can all run, and they're very physical. And also, I've talked about this before already within this segment. I'm a big uniform guy, and I love their unis. Some people think they're hideous, but man, there's some of their stuff that they do with the green and yellow out there is really cool.
It's unique. It's unique to say the least. All right, so yeah. Canton Galva and St. Francis have been cursed. Congrats. I'm kidding. All right, let everybody know how they can get the magazine. It looks fantastic. It just jumps out at you, and certainly the cover does too, even more so now that Derby lost.
Yeah.
But I mean, it looks great. Did a great job. Everybody helping you out. I know you got lots of people that contribute, and there's too many to name because of time restrictions. But I know you want to probably thank at least the sponsors and in general people that helped you put this thing together, because it was a challenge this year. And then, of course, people can get it at the sponsor locations for free.
Yeah, and you know, this year we lost a major sponsor that had dozens of locations, but we still have our Pizza Huts that we have had since almost the beginning of this deal, and then there's just so many in between. You know, in your area, you've got Cunningham Communications, you've got Todd Clover at Farm Bureau Financial, you've got Gray Drug. I hate that I've even started down this road, because I'm going to forget people, because you know they do such a great job. Agmark, but you pick it up at sponsor locations in your area. I actually don't have the complete list up online yet, but I'll get it up there, and you know, make sure and head out. And I think this is really important for people to remember, and something that I've been preaching the last 3 years more than ever, but it is a permanent reminder of the joy of high school sports, and there are less and less of those.
Mm-hmm.
There are less ways to get your hands on something that you can put in a scrapbook than I think that there ever have before have been. And sometimes we're not motivated to do that, but if you've got a son that their name is in the returning starter list, or you've got, you know, or if you played on a team and you were, you know, part of it, make sure you get out and get a copy of this from one of the sponsors and keep it for something to pull out of the attic 20 years from now and take a look back at the way things were once upon a time. But head out to KansasPregame.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. My Instagram is not as active as it should be, but I am out there. And you can message me. And you can find my number, and you can, if you say, hey, I want to find a magazine close to me, I'll find you a copy.
Fantastic. John Betts, publisher of Kansas Pregame. As always, the magazine looks terrific, and I know it was more of a challenge this year, but we look forward to, hopefully, as you said, get through the postseason, have a great postseason, crown some state champions that we unfortunately weren't able to do last basketball season. We can move forward, and then next year when we're talking about this magazine, it'll be back to normal. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And please remember, everybody, be gracious. It's a it's a trying time for everyone, trying to figure out how to deal with this on fan restrictions, on masking, on all those kind of things. Nobody is out there making decisions specifically to make you mad.
That's right.
They're doing it with the best interest of the largest majority of people in mind. So just be gracious and good to people, and that's good advice for day-to-day as it is.
Absolutely. John Betts, publisher of Kansas Pregame. John, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the football season, my man.
Thank you.